tying them to the beautiful verses of the final surahs of the Holy Quran. Today's special will be back later, so stick around.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program. Today is special.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today is Saturday, the 22nd of Jamadi al-Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Azab, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless our day with recitation of the Holy Quran. Today, Surah Luqman, Ayah 14.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير.
And we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. His mother carried him, increasing her in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents. To me is the final destination.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All right, the ayah you listened to was ayah 14 of Surah Luqman. In the ayah under discussion, that is ayah 14 of Surah Luqman, at first the kindness to parents has been recommended. Then the Quran points to the course of mother's pregnancy in order to awaken the moral conscience of man and that he should not forsake the events of the past. He must always remember that his mother bore him and fed him with her own milk. She dispensed with her sleep and food for the sake of his tranquility in a manner that no one was ready to bear such troubles. That's it. The heaven is under the feet of mothers. This is a famous hadith by Prophet Muhammad. Kiss the hands of your mothers, kiss the feet of your mothers, respect your mothers. If you lost your mothers, go to their graves and recite the Holy Quran over their graves. Thank you very much for being with us with today's special. Let's take a break and after that we'll continue our discussion.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to your supreme. to Him supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Welcome back, dear listeners of iRib English Radio. You are listening to today's special, Motherhood More Than a Job. What a beautiful title it is. Thanks, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, this episode of today's special, for selecting such an interesting topic and title. Fortunate is the person whose mother is chaste and virtuous. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam said this hadith that I read to you, that is, fortunate is the person whose mother is chaste and virtuous. Every society is made up of blocks of family units. The stronger each block is, the stronger the structure of the society is. Families are thus the building blocks upon which rests the fate of society. For the development of good families, the mother plays a vital role. Many women today have aspirations of progress in their careers and degrees in various fields. However, it is indisputable that the most important achievement of a mother is the raising of sensible, virtuous children, who will then move to build other strong blocks for society. Absolutely right. It has been said that it is easy to bear children, but it is difficult to raise them well. In that lies the challenge for all mothers. More power to the elbows of the Muslim women, the ladies at house, the mothers, who spend their time in nurturing good children, who will establish the good blocks for a Muslim ummah and society.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition from Series of Today's Special from iRib English Radio. This is Ali, your host, with another topic to discuss with you on motherhood. Every society is made up of blocks of family units. The stronger each block is, the stronger the structure of the society. Families are thus the building blocks upon which rest the fate of society. For the development of good families, the mother plays a vital role. Many women today have aspirations of progress in their careers and degrees in various fields. However, it is indisputable that the most important achievements of a mother is the raising of sensible, virtuous children, who will then move on to build other strong blocks for society. It has been said that it is easy to bear children, but it is difficult to raise them well. And that lies the challenges for all mothers.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
A strength of a mother, awareness of responsibility. Motherhood is a career, and those who take it up must try and excel at it. All right, it's a career without being paid enough, of course. You know that the mother's 24 hours being busy in the house, being as a wife, as a mother, and not paid. Alhamdulillah, This is a sacrifice that the mothers make. It is a duty of every mother to look into better techniques and strategies of parenting. A wide variety of material is available, both Islamic and secular. Of course, we do not want to talk about the secular ones. We're only focusing on the Islamic ones. Although Islamic material may not be abundant in English, many secular books and magazines are published about parenting. Their techniques are different from Islamic ones. Reading these from time to time help increase awareness and vision. Of course, in Islamic sense, we are talking. When a mother reads about problems that parents face, she is comforted by the fact that she is not alone. That is very reassuring, as often parents assume they are the only ones having difficulties. Also, reading about solutions used by other people or advices given by psychologists, especially the Muslim psychologists, helps broaden the choice of possible tactics in dealing with the children. Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to today's special tips for Muslim mother. All right, practice in front of your children regularly what you want them to do. Be a practicing Muslim mother. In fact, as we read in English, do not be a preacher without practice. You can never expect your child to speak the truth while you lie in front of him. How can your child speak in polite tone while you shout at him? Oh, come and go this, go that, do this, do that, go and then when the child comes, be polite. Impossible. As a mother, as a parent, you should be polite, and then your children act politely too. Children are very fast at taking up habits, so be very much careful in front of your children, as they are much more likely to do exactly what you do. Repeated acts to develop it in them as a habit, like for example, doing zikr. Saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, reciting du'as, different du'as are over there, our du'a corpus in Shia are really rich, refer to them. Say bismillah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, repeatedly whenever you start any task. Inshallah and alhamdulillah and such words, make such words your habits so that your child copies them too. So, in order to be a nice parent, in order to be act as a polite and Muslim parent, you should act Islamically. If you do not act Islamically and then you expect your children to act Islamically, this is a wrong expectation, okay? You have to act in a good way in your family surrounding, with your colleagues, with your friends, with your parents, with your neighbors, okay? Neighbors are really important. And then you expect your children to act in a good way.
So what does Islam says with respect to the mother? Islam respects the role of mother and mother herself. A Muslim mother has a valued and dignified role. Her contribution is acknowledged and appreciated. Her unparalleled gifts to the child have been aptly described by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in Risalatul Huquq, the chapter of rights, where he says, "It is the right of your mother that you should appreciate that she carried you in her womb the way nobody carries anybody. She fed you by fruits of her heart, which nobody feeds anybody. She protected you during pregnancy with her ears, eyes, hands, legs, hairs, limbs, in short, with her whole being, gladly, cheerfully, and carefully, suffering patiently all the worries, pains, difficulties, and sorrows, till the hand of God removed you from her and brought you into this world. Then she was most happy feeding you, forgetting her own hunger, clothing you even if she herself had no clothes, giving you milk and water, not caring for her own thirst, keeping you in the shade even if she had to suffer from the heat of the sun, giving you every comfort with her own hardship, lulling you to sleep while keeping herself awake.
Thank you very much for being with us with today's special about motherhood and about parenting. We hope you enjoyed today's episode with me, Atta, the host of this program. For more information, don't forget to visit our website, iranradio.ir. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Till another episode, we leave you Allah's care. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
La ilaha illallah. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي
You can talk it down, turn the other way, fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. Yeah, yeah. When the sun
hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today we reflect on a profound saying of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy progeny. It's quoted that he swore by Allah and said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, none shall enter paradise except the merciful." The companion said, "We are all merciful." He replied, "Not just that, you must show mercy to all people." So this hadith expands the meaning of mercy from a personal feeling to a way of life. As you can see, we often think of mercy as something we show to our children, parents, or friends, but the Holy Prophet is teaching us that mercy must extend beyond our circle to neighbors, strangers, and even those who disagree with us, all in a different way. And psychology supports this. Studies show that compassion reduces stress and increases happiness, not only for the receiver, but also for the giver. Mercy is contagious. It spreads peace in families, workplaces, and communities. The Prophet's emphasis on the Ummah in this hadith, the general public, is remarkable. It means kindness to people you may never meet again. The shopkeeper, the bus driver, the refugee, the orphan, anyone. Imagine a city where people treat even strangers with patience and care. Research in psychology, sociology, confirms that societies with higher levels of public trust and compassion enjoy greater safety and prosperity. Mercy to the public is not just spiritual, it's practical nation building. History gives us shining examples. During famines, Imam Ali alayhi salam would personally carry food on his back to poor families at night. Mercy to the Ummah. And even to non-Muslims, we should care for the dignity and be kind to them in a certain way. For example, guiding the ignorant, guiding those who are misguided, guiding those who are not religious in the correct way, in the correct meaning, is a sort of mercy. These examples show us that mercy is not selective. It's a universal principle that elevates us all. So how can we bring this hadith to life today? Start with small acts. A smile to a stranger, holding the door, or speaking kindly. All our examples. And expand your circle. Show care beyond family and friends. Support community projects, help refugees, and visit the sick, feed the hungry, and so on. Be merciful in power. If you are a teacher, employer, or parent, practice patience and understanding. True strength lies in gentleness. And check your heart. Ask, is my mercy limited only to those I love, or does it embrace humanity, as the Prophet taught? Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to Women of Resistance. Ahlam Akram Thabit is a teacher in Gaza who has survived the pain and atrocities of a genocide. She says she sees pain and fear in the eyes of her young students, but she also sees hope and resilience because she says as Palestinians, they are dreamers, thinkers, and fighters. Here is more of Ahlam.
Palestine is global, but those whose family left the soil only to later return with their own families, they have a unique perspective and have brought back much needed sets of talents and skills.
This is Ahlam Akram Thabit. I'm a proud Palestinian from Gaza. I was born in United Arab Emirates and I lived there for 18 years. Then I have done my early studies. I moved to Gaza to complete my higher education. So I studied English language and its teaching methods at Qutb University of Gaza. And soon, inshallah, I'm going to have my master's because education is not just a profession for me or it's not just a job for me. It's a passion and more than that. Nowadays, I am a trainer at my educational center, my own center, Access Point. And I'm a teacher as well at Al Farad School. As I mentioned before, education is not just a profession for me, it's more than passion and also my way to give positive energy for my students and all people in my community.
Gaza's lack of resources, now the Israelis have done their level best to destroy the place, may mean people like Alam must seek opportunities elsewhere. Life under Israeli occupation came with its own challenges, ones Palestinians met head on.
Actually, living under the occupation is not something easy, or it's not something I can easily capture or easily tell. Nobody can use to live under occupation because there is no safe, and there's actually in the last war, there's hunger, and we had pain and we faced a lot of struggles, so it's something was really difficult for everybody, but people still stand because there's no other choice.
This dark chapter in Palestinian life will be a defining one.
This genocide was the darkest genocide or the darkest capture I've ever seen in my life because of the hardest or the difficult situation that all people in Gaza faced or going through because of the refugees that coming to Deir al-Balah from the beginning of the war, so and they lost their relatives. According to us, I lost a lot of my relatives in this war, so it was so hard for me. Actually, lack of education, lack of food, and there's no clean water. So all those things make us like err in our minds that we were living a very professional life before the war. Here, everything got different from the 7th of October. We faced a lot of difficult things, children, we mean, and people in general inside Gaza and wherever the strip they are, whatever the city. So all people in Gaza faced struggles and really bad, going through bad circumstances and really hard ones.
As an educator, Alam and her peers are doing what they can to ease the burden of a tragically growing new demographic inside Gaza, those without a mother or a father.
When we talk about orphans, it's something heartbreaking. The number of orphans here in those 2 years are really heartbreaking. But I think people in Gaza are supportive. Whenever they say orphans or children lost their families, and we talk about millions, I think they support them and work by them side by side. They also support by giving them little things, whatever it is, volunteers, teachers, or even little tools they have, in order to give them good education according to this bad circumstance we feel and we are going through. I think the people in Gaza, they are really supportive and collaborative.
Palestinians inside Gaza made the most of their previous situation. Now life is measured in moments of struggle and survival.
Nowadays we are living in tents and we don't have even simple things that anybody can afford. So we don't have good food, we don't have clean water, and all those things reflect on impact in our personality or in our living. If we were talking about the life before the war, so we were talking about good education and good job and good opportunity. But right now we don't have even a time or to go for work because of the daily luxury and daily work according to the fire. We don't have gas, absolutely. And let's say about the cleaning issues, our children, they need care more than that because of the lack for simple things. Simple tools or instruments, we don't have even the basic issues. Let's talk about something related to different people in Gaza. They were really have good life and good opportunities, even here in Gaza or outside. The life were open and there is no, let's say, borders, and there is no lack of anything. The life was really free and beautiful for us. Nowadays, the life is really, unfortunately, and I'm so sorry to say that life is so bad here, and we are dying every day and every moment and every second.
It is the women of Palestine who've taken on a more frontline role, being the support structure for a people under attack.
If I will talk about Palestinian women, I will talk about stability, I will talk about resistance, I will talk about encouragement, and I will talk about supportive. Women of Palestine or Palestinian women, known in her encouragement, whatever the circumstance is and whatever the conditions is. Palestinian women can live everywhere. Palestinian women can do everything, even with no tools, even with lack for every simple things. As for my experience as a Palestinian, as a woman in Gaza, I lived every hard circumstance here in Gaza, especially in those two hard years. I used the fire. I also woke without any kind of a transport. I used simple things to make food for my child or for my family. I bring water from no water. I bring food from no food. So as a Palestinian, I really faced really hard circumstances here in Gaza, because as we know that Palestinian lost everything, lost every luxury things, and lost all the kind of nice life within those 2 years.
Alam is aware of the international support for Palestine, but she wants us to look beyond the headlines. Don't just see the stories, see the people, their wants, desires, and humanity.
My message to the world is simple. We are human beings. We feel, we dream, we hope as many others. We are human. So just to try to not turn away our suffering and to stand with justice. Speak loud in our message. Your voices matter, whatever it is and wherever you are in. So we are a human. Try to stand side by side with us, because we feel and we study, we work as we are thinkers, dreamers, fighters. We can do more than you could ever imagine. We can go all over the world, and we are successful person. Try to come here and talk to us. Try to treat with us. You're going to find a deeper thing inside all person here inside Gaza.
Now the Israeli bombs have mostly stopped. Alam contemplates the next phase of her life, the rebuilding era, the potential to start afresh.
When I heard the news about bombing stopping in Gaza, it felt like a wave of emotions all at once. After 2 years of fear and loss, even a moment of a quiet feels overwhelming. But at the same time, we know that a pause doesn't erase the pain or rebuild what's been destroyed. My priority after the war is to travel outside Gaza, where I spent my childhood, and it has always felt like home. I want to be with my loved ones, and I want to feel safe. Let's say about the start, rebuilding my life again, it's something so hard for me, something so difficult for me, but I want some stability. Actually, I want some time for myself to kind of recalibrate itself all over the place. I carry Gaza in my heart, and I hope to continue supporting my community from wherever I am.
Seen the impact of the past 2 years through the eyes of her students. As her heart breaks for what has been lost, she wants us to see what she sees, the future, if just given the chance to survive and thrive.
I want everybody to hear my voice. I'm a teacher in Gaza. A place where the students of many young people like me are constantly challenged by the harsh realities we face. Education is not just a profession, as I told you before. It's a journey, and it's a hard work for every teacher here in Gaza, and wherever they are, whatever the country it is. I am a teacher. I always look to my students' eyes, and I see sadness, and I see their fears and their suffering. But I keep going because I believe in them. I can see future doctors, engineers, artists, and leaders in front of me, and that appears in their eyes. So I need everybody to understand we're not just victims of circumstance, but dreamers, thinkers, and fighters. And one day I will stand in front of those leaders with a, it's hard for me to stand in front of those thinkers with a strong face and strong heart when my heart is breaking inside. But I keep going because I believe in them. I trust in my students. And as I told you before, I am a teacher, so I want my voice to go all over the world. I need everybody to listen to me and to stand by us from their heart, more than from their brain and personality, let's say.
Joining me today to unpack Ahlam's story is the Orthodox anti-Zionist Rabbi Chaim Sofer. Welcome, Rabbi.
Thank you so much for being here. Very happy to be here.
Ahlam's story and the pain that is there in her words, in her eyes, in her demeanor of what they've been through. Rabbi, do you see people like Ahlam as your people?
She's my sister. She's equal to me. She's a human being. Even more than that, Palestinians have a great record with Jews. The records with the Jews started in the time that Omar ibn Khattab, the Khalif, the second Khalif, he released Palestine from the Byzantines. The Byzantines didn't allow Jews to live in Palestine. They expelled them. They told them, either you have to become Christians or not, get out of here. They killed many of them, and the rest are fled. There was no Jews for many years, as long as the Byzantines controlled Palestine. When Al-Khalif Omar ibn Khattab brought freedom. And who allowed the Jews come back? The Palestinians. They opened the door of Palestine at the first time, that the Palestinians were very grateful for Jews, full with mercy and understanding and sympathy. They allowed Jews in. Second time, the Palestinians again opened the door for Jews. And they were so great people. I don't understand why they have to insist that they're human beings. They're special human beings. They're great people. At the time of the Crusaders, when the Crusaders came and destroyed all the Muslim communities, they destroyed the Jewish community that was in Jerusalem. And for 88 years, there was no Jewish soul in Palestine. When Sultan al-Nasr Yusuf Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi released Palestine, the Palestinians allowed in again the Jews. It's happened in the time of the Seljukans that have partial time in Palestine, the Mamluks what controlled Palestine for a certain time. And then 500 great years of the Ottoman Empire. The Palestinians were great people. The Jews worked with them, we lived with them, we had merchandise with them, we had businesses with them. We used to babysitting each other as children. A Palestinian woman went to a hotel to a wedding. She dropped all her children by us. And it, the other way also it was. There was such a beautiful cooperation. Next door neighbor was a Palestinian. And now the Palestinians come and claim, we're human beings. We're human beings. We also have the right to live. You know why she talks like that? Because the Zionists are claiming they're the, what, according to the fascist agenda is, that the Palestinians have no right to live. Palestinians, according to the Zionists, have no right to die even with dignity. They don't let them to die with dignity. We'll talk about it later on.
Do you see yourself as Palestinian?
Of course, I am Palestinian. I said it many times in many years. I'm a dumb Palestinian. I'm a Palestinian. I'm a Palestinian Jew. Palestinian is a nation, culture, and way of life. And I'm part of this great nation. I'll tell it to you in Arabic. أنا جزء مهم من أبناء الشعب الفلسطيني. There's Palestinian Muslims, Palestinian Christians, and there's Palestinian Jews. There should be one flag in Palestine, one state, Palestinian state, that would be friendly for Jews, Muslims, and Christians. The Palestinians have a great record by behaving to Jews beautifully, beautifully. There's no reason why they shouldn't get back their land. And I believe that Mrs. Ilham, Alam, she's not from Gaza. I believe that her grandparents were deported from Palestine because 80% of the Gazans, their ancestries are from villages, from the 730 villages which the Zionists expelled 1.3, even sometimes some people say 1.5, I don't know the exact part, but nothing less than 1.3 million Palestinians that were expelled viciously in the Nakba, the disaster of 48, that the Zionists turned their back to them, to the people that did so many good favors to them.
By the way, you were also telling me before, you know, about the West Bank. We have moved a little bit, you know, shifted our gaze after the genocide apparently has had ceasefire. You know, we know the bombing is still going on, you know, people are still being killed. But you were telling me about the West Bank, that there is a bigger tragedy happening in the West Bank. Why is that?
In the West Bank, there's 3 million Palestinians. That's the main fortress of the Palestinian people in Palestine. It's a vast land with millions of trees, of olive trees, building structures, schools, universities. The Palestinian culture are flourishing in the West Bank. The foundation of the Palestinian people is in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. And that's what the Zionists realize that they have to destroy. And that's why it is on a daily basis, theft of land, destruction of thousands of structures. Since the 67 war, there was at least 55,000 structures, buildings, houses, and apartment buildings that were destroyed in the West Bank. No one talks about it. It's like a natural thing. And there was already more than 1,300 Palestinians were murdered in the West Bank since the beginning of 7th of October. More than 20,000 Palestinians were arrested in the West Bank. No one talks about it. Many of them disappeared.
Yeah.
The destructions of tens of thousands of olive trees, some which was the Torah forbid to cut off a tree full with fruits. And here they do it, they just take a bulldozer and they drive a whole field. Harvesting, they don't even allow them. Who's harvesting? There was this olive trees? Zionist, fascist, terror groups, militias that what are stealing the water crops. They know that what the main income of Palestinians is quality.
Yeah,
and not only that, it's the culture around them. They dressed up very beautifully.
Yeah.
They go, I'm part of these people. I'm not part of this fascist Zionist who talks about religion, that religion allowed them to steal, steal, destroy, killing, expanding, and raping like the most vicious animals. I'm not part of this.
Let's talk about this ideology of Zionism, Rabbi. You know, do you believe that we are seeing a fracture? Do you think that we are seeing a sort of a decline? I mean, specifically with what happened in New York with the election, you know, of Zohran Mamdani as the mayor of New York, and the openness with which he's talking about the genocide. I think New York has never seen this kind of language. What's your assessment?
You have to look at the whole picture. First of all, the Zionist state was very powerful superpower, economical power, before they bought their military. The military is like a NATO sort of type of military. They receive it for free, all type of the best weapons, and something which you don't receive, they steal from America. Their so-called ally, they're not their ally. They steal everything what they can from America if they don't receive it. New York was a Zionist city. It was like Tel Aviv, like Jerusalem. It was there when a Zionist evil promises to land in New York, he felt he's landing in Tel Aviv. The old mayors were admiring the Zionist state, which is a light for the whole world, a light of what a beautiful life of belief, of culture. All the terrorist attacks, all the genocide which they conducted from the Nakba from 48 till now was accepted by American white Native Americans as a war against terror. Every baby that the Zionists stepped on his head and killed them and starved them to death in Gaza, in the West Bank, every building that were destroyed were considered part of the war against terror. We are allies. New York was like a Zionist fortress, a Zionist palace. And suddenly everything was upside down. And a Muslim anti-Zionist, it says clearly I'm anti-Zionist, his wife is anti-Zionist, a pro-Palestinian activist. And they won the elections. What happened? It's happened is as from Allah, this rebellion against God to take out the Jews outside of exile and to tell them that what you have to ethnic cleansing Palestine from the indigenous Palestinian people that they're the landlords there, it belongs to them, not to us anymore, because we've been expelled from Palestine because of our sins, and we're supposed to remain in Gula, but in exile till Allah would reveal his kingdom all over the world, which all people, Muslims and Christians, will be our partners. We're not going to step on the head of people. We're not dreaming of recapture land, stealing land, raping, destroying, expanding. These methods, these concepts are for us, are haram, are evil.
But also, Rabbi, you're talking about the real Jews that you're talking about, you know, and the ideology of how Muslims and Christians and Jews are supposed to coexist. We see that today, for example, in Iran, where there is
Basically touch what I'd like to say. Yeah. You're talking about the cracks which we see. The Zionist kingdom is declining, is sinking, alhamdulillah. We see it from all many places, but they refuse to have economical ties with them. They refuse to sell them arms. Unfortunately, we'll touch it. There's some Muslim states which condemn the Zionists, but behind, in the back door, they're sending a lot of arms, food, and in billions of dollars. You should let the tell you know that the jungle boots, the boots which the Zionist terrorists are using to step on the head of babies and to kill them, it's made in a Muslim country, unfortunately. And I don't understand why the Muslims are so complicit and cooperating with such a Zionist terrorist entity that are conducting ongoing genocide for the last century, for 100 years. It's not, the genocide didn't start in 48. Genocide started, ethnic cleansing in Palestine started in 1921. That was the beginning of the ethnic cleansing. And that's what we're witnessing for steady flu, a constant ethnic cleansing, killing, systematic destruction and wipe out of the Palestinian population. But God, Allah doesn't let them. The Palestinians are such a wonderful, strong, powerful nation that as much as they conduct the genocide, they still come back, they grow back. Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to see it. We'll talk about, yes, one of the questions is if they're going to survive it. We'll talk about it. But let's talk about the cracks. There's a lot of cracks. Many people, hundreds of thousands of Zionist settlers live in Palestine for good. They go to live in Dubai, in Czechoslovakia, in Germany, England, America, nothing. They're not interested, you know, to be used as a cannon meat, to be used to have constant wars. They see that they're not belong there. This idea to ship in millions of Jews from exile, yeah, and to steal someone else's land was a bitter mistake, and now they see that they pay the price, and the Zionist state are declined. There's less people coming to live there, and more people coming outside, yes. So it's declining.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I really appreciate my Abrahamic brother in faith. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you. We leave you with the sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Goodbye.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program. Let's recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program.
Thank
it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned. As always, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, Brother Muhammad will talk about the miraculous music of the Noble Quran. We are talking about the semantic relationship between the words. Now, Brother Muhammad, the mic is yours.
So we were talking about words that are related to each other, and they come in groups. You have groups of words which are very close in meaning. For example, we gave the example of the verse أَلَهُمْ أَرْجُلٌ يَمْشُونَ بِهَا.
Yeah, parts of the body, actually.
Yeah, the parts of the body and the action of that body. What does it do? We walk with our feet. What do we do? We hold something with our hands. We see with our eyes and so on and so forth. Now I'm going to talk about something that's a little different. It's actually words that are opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes opposites also are very relevant to each other. Okay, they are related, but at the same time, they're actually quite the opposite.
Just like night and day.
Night and day, exactly. We have a lot of these kinds of verses in the Holy Quran, and it makes the verses of Quran very beautiful. For example, what does Allah say in Surah Fatir, verses 19 to 22? This is a very beautiful verse. These groups of verses are actually very beautiful. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ
أَعْمَى بَصِيرِ.
A person who is blind is not the same as someone who can see. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ.
They're not equal.
Allah is making a point here. So yes, the point Allah is making is that they're not equal. A person, for example, who can see is not like a person who is blind. Darkness and light are not the same.
And the same is true for Noor and Zulma.
Darkness and light. The next pair is shade and heat of the sun are not the same either. It's either opposites again. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ. The ones who are living and those that are dead, they're not the same. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah can make any that He wills to hear. Okay? Allah can make anyone that He wants, that He wills to hear. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. إِنْ أَنْتَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ. You are just a warner. إِنَّا. This is, Allah is addressing the Prophet. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَإِنْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ.
So this is talking about the beautiful prayers.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you pay attention to the rhyme, you will see that they are again the same.
Yeah, rhymes.
Yeah. The two first prayers, I think, have the same rhyme.
Actually, the second and third one.
The second.